Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room, Emergency War Room. UFC 279 has been turned upside down. Hi, everybody that's gathering. Okay. People watching on Instagram, this will be up on the channel in, like, a couple of hours. I just thought we'd live stream, but we're going to get these smashed out, because I want to rattle through these. There's a lot to talk about, and of course, we've got short time, because these fights are happening very, very soon. Okay, let's start with the main event. So Nate Diaz against Tony Ferguson. Really, really interesting. The fight that should have been made all along. Very, very happy that this is happening. I feel like the MMA gods have smiled down on us and protected Nate Diaz and perhaps Tony Ferguson as well. Okay, quick tale of the tape. So 6 foot for Nate Diaz, 5'11 for Tony Ferguson. Both have a 76-inch reach. 21 and 13 for Nate Diaz, 26 and 7 for Tony Ferguson. 5 knockouts on Nate Diaz's record, or TKOs, the last one being 2013, let's not forget that. Tony Ferguson, 12 knockouts on his record, but 4 knockouts in his welterweight career, 3 on The Ultimate Fighter, and of course, 1 to win the finale over Ramzi Nijem. 8 submissions on Tony Ferguson's record compared to 12 on Diaz. 4 triangles, 4 guillotines, rear naked choke, armbar, key lock. Tony Ferguson has got 3 rear naked chokes, 3 darces, a triangle, and a neck crank. Okay. Where do we start? So, Tony Ferguson presents some of the same kind of problems I was concerned for Nate with when he was going into the Chimaev fight. Namely, scar tissue. There's a lot of scar tissue on Nate's face. We know that there's some here and here and here. Like, that's one of the things that Tony Ferguson's so good at. One of the reasons why he's got TKOs on his records are because of his razor-sharp elbows. Spinning and cutting people. I mean, you remember what he did to Josh Thompson, where he smashed him and sent him off balance and cut him at the same time. Really lethal, dangerous elbows. A lot of spinning attacks, a lot of unpredictable stuff from Tony Ferguson. So he presents a lot of issues in the striking range for Nate. Of course, Nate has got the volume advantage. That goes without saying. I've got some stats to back that up in a minute to talk you through. The way I see this going, if Nate's going to win this, which I feel this is a far, far more winnable fight for him, I feel this is a far more winnable fight for Tony as well, but I feel now, to be honest, like the advantage swings a little bit in Nate's favour. Based on his toughness, on his size and strength, he looked bigger than Tony at the weigh-ins. There was also this kind of vibe off Tony that it's like he was like thumbs up to the crowd and like, you know, bowing and shaking his hand, and Nate just walks up and shakes. Like, there's clearly like an admiration and respect coming from Tony. And I don't think that it doesn't go the other way from Nate. He's just not the kind of person to show that at all. But with Tony, I don't know, like when I was seeing him face off at the weigh-ins, I kind of felt like it was like two kids in the same year at high school. And Tony's the awkward kid that's into skateboarding and Metallica, and like Nate is the cool guy and he wishes everybody had the same admiration for him. It kind of made Tony a little bit awkward. I don't know whether that's going to put a lid on some of his chaotic stuff, whether he's going to have a bit too much respect for Diaz and whether that's going to allow Diaz to walk him down and slap him up. And then if that's the case, then Tony does lean into his wrestling. But I feel like Diaz's jiu-jitsu might be a little bit too much for Tony. Like, of course, Tony's got good submissions on his record. He's a decent wrestler as well. But the times when we've seen him struggle, of course, he's been lit up and cut and damaged himself, stopped twice in his last 4 fights, first time in his career. But then he's also been dominated on the ground a couple of times. And after watching what Nate did to Connor, I can see him doing something similar. I can see him wearing Tony Ferguson down on the feet, Tony shooting in to try and get the fight to the floor, and that working perfectly into Diaz's game. I can see Diaz being able to sweep him, take mount, and dominate him from top position, beat him up and take his back and choke him. I can also see Tony catching Diaz with wild elbows as they're in the striking range and or in and out of the clinch. And then the same problem presents itself to Diaz. He's got thin skin. He's got damaged skin. The doctor might get involved and stop it. Either way, I'm just glad that this fight's happening over Chimaev and Diaz, and over Lalich against Tony Ferguson. I think they were both going to be rough fights for these old veterans, and now they're fighting one another. I feel very much like this is the position that they should be in. Okay, I need to take a breath. I'm like buzzing. I've been kind of sleepless all night because of what's going on. I've drank too much green tea. Okay, for the people watching on the Instagram live stream, you won't be able to see my screen, but if you check out on the YouTube channel in a couple of hours, you'll be able to see it. Okay, what do I want to tell you? Now, Tony Ferguson features in a lot of the lightweight statistics, like a lot of the records. Tony Ferguson is there with sub attempts and total strikes and significant strikes, etc., bonuses, etc. When it comes to overall, all the active fighters on the roster, Tony doesn't feature in any of the record books, but Nate still does. And this is partly down to fight time, of course. Nate is on the record book for fight time, 5 hours, 19 minutes and 27 seconds. He's also had 26 fights in the UFC compared to Tony's 20. So that there is a slight difference in there, of course, in volume of time they've spent in the octagon. But if I just go through and talk you through some of these things with Nate, let me put some of these up on the screen. So, fourth for sub attempts at 25. Now, Tony is outside of the top 10 with 16. So again, if it hits the floor, I feel like Nate is going to be more quick fire with his submissions. Guillotines to triangles, guillotines to scrambles to rear naked chokes like he got Connor with. I think there are a few different ways that Nate can cause Tony problems on the floor, as well as the fact that he's got such a high output of strikes, of submissions. Going on to strikes, he's fourth in total strikes. Again, Tony's not on the leaderboard for all active fighters. He features at number 8 in the lightweight rankings. Nate has landed 2,386 strikes in his career. Now, he has scored 4 knockdowns. We've talked about this before, the knockdown ratio. So we go 2,386 strikes to 4 knockdowns, which gives him a knockdown ratio of 595.5 per knockdown. Now, that's not a wonderful statistic. That amounts to, somebody actually mentioned this in the comments on one of the war rooms, I'd like to know how many total strikes were divided over the amount of fights they've had. That leaves Nate at 91.7 strikes per fight on average. Tony at 62.6 strikes per average. So you can see that there's a 30% more strike output for Nate Diaz just overall per fight. The other interesting thing as well is that Tony Ferguson, although he doesn't match Nate when it comes to total strikes, his significant strikes make up 88% of all the strikes that he throws. So again, the meaning behind the shots that Tony Ferguson throws, the damage that he's trying to create, is different to Nate, who's just going whack, 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 pressure, exhaustion, suffocation. It's a very, very different kind of output. And he'll do the same thing on the ground. He'll cover your mouth. He'll slap you. He did the same thing to Connor, punching him into that triangle. Like, Nate's striking is voluminous and supplementary to his jiu-jitsu game. The problem is, because he doesn't have his wrestling, he can't get these fights to the floor. And I don't know if Nate's going to be able to take Tony down. I think Tony's going to be scrappy and have enough wrestling to be able to keep this fight on the feet. But I do think that Diaz will be able to pressure Tony enough to make him potentially want to wrestle. Okay, what haven't I said? Okay, let me go back to some of the statistics, because these are really interesting for me. So Nate is third on the overall rankings for submission wins at 9. Tony's got 6 submission wins on his record. They both feature in the bonuses one, though, which is why this is the main event and why this makes this one so exciting. Nate is 2nd for bonuses with 15, and Tony is 6th for bonuses with 11. But if we go back to the striking statistics, the knockdown ratio, as we were talking about before. So let me switch to my blue pen, and let's go Tony. So Tony's landed 1,252 strikes, but he's landed 6 knockdowns, which makes his knockdown ratio 208.6 strikes per knockdown. So again, it's leaning in towards Tony being more damaging with his striking, more meaningful with his striking, less voluminous, but more fight-ending, you could say. I think elbows will be a big part of that. I think the bounding and covering distance that Tony does will be very, very useful, as well as all the spinning attacks, because Nate doesn't mind having his back taken. He doesn't mind getting into scrambles where he turns his back. There's also going to be, it's going to be quite a chaotic start to this fight as well, because of course these guys have kind of grown up on the UFC roster with one another. They're both very aware of one another. I think that first round is going to be a lot of games being played, a lot of kind of like posturing and like kind of mugging off, and you know, there'll be banter, and there'll be trash talking, and there'll be posturing, and this fight might take a moment to get started, but then once it does, we're going to have wild exchanges where Nate's pressuring Tony and Tony's spinning and rolling to try and get out of it, or maybe even level changing, and that's when the jiu-jitsu comes into play. And I think it could be quite chaotic, but I feel like Nate is just that slight level higher. I feel like Tony level changing into that chin strap and that overhook on the arm, and then he starts working that guillotine attempt. And if Tony works through that, then we're into Triangle City, and that's where Nate also thrives. Four triangles, four guillotines on his record, including a triangle and a guillotine and a rear naked choke on The Ultimate Fighter. Now, the last time Nate did submit somebody was Conor McGregor back in 2016. But he's not fighting Khamzat Chimaev now. He's fighting Tony Ferguson, who's coming off four losses and has been dominated on the ground in a couple of those. It's going to be a really fun one. What haven't I mentioned? I think I've talked about it all. I think I've said everything that needs to be said. Harder fight for Lee, yeah, I would agree with that. We'll stop there. We'll have a little freeze. We'll stop there. I'll have a sip of my tea and we'll reset.